There's nothing like that first significant stretch of winter weather to really point out issues that you're having with your house, whether it's ice dams forming outside or maybe it's condensation and drafts inside. Certainly important to address those problems as they come up. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we visit with a couple of people who know a whole lot about this topic. Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build comes by every couple of months to talk with us about making sure that your home is in good shape and as energy efficient as possible. Chad, great to have you back.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here.
And welcoming for the first time, Laura Paprocki. She is the owner of Trinity Environmental. It's an environmental consulting business that specializes in energy efficiency services. And Laura regularly performs energy audits on homes in conjunction with a Focus on Energy program. She also performs evaluations on new construction projects as well. And Laura, welcome to the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry.
I'm really so happy to have you along today to talk about this. And, you know, Chad and I have visited many times or talked many times about home energy audits. And certainly I think it's important, and we'll get to that. There's one thing, though, I did want to talk about right now, and that's something the EPA, or Environmental Protection Agency, has named for January as National Radon Action Month. And probably worth talking about radon. I found I had just had my basement floor redone, and now I've got a crack in the floor, and I'm wondering. I had a test for radon that showed anything, but it was kind of concerning. And somebody said, well, what in the world is radon anyway? Kind of a gas, is it, or whatever? And I thought, all right, let's just start with that. What is radon?
Sure. Well, radon is a naturally occurring radioactive gas. It is odorless, tasteless. It is not detectable by a human. So you need to test for it. And there are a variety of ways to test for it. There are kits that you can pick up at the hardware store. And you set them out, you know, their instructions, and then you mail them in. And you'll find out what your radon level is for that moment when you have tested for it.
Yep.
But I'll just mention that radon levels in a home, if you have radon, can fluctuate throughout the year. So another option is to purchase a continuous detector, a plug-in detector. We often give these to our clients when we remodel their basement or when we're in their home doing significant renovations to see if there's any detectable radon. And it gives you a constant digital readout. It's very common in south central Wisconsin and in other parts of the state. There's some maps you can see online that show the levels of high radon occurrence in the soils.
Yeah, we have it in some parts of Wisconsin, fairly significant levels, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So I had a home that had levels of 20 picoliters, which is five times the action level. So we put radon mitigation into that home. And so a professional will come in and install a pipe that comes out of the ground and goes outside or outside of the envelope. And then the fan is installed on the exterior so that if the housing of the fan ever cracks, you won't be spilling radon into the home. And there's a little liquid indicator on the pipe that's in your basement that shows you that there's negative pressure that lets you know that pipe is working.
Okay.
Or that the fan is working and that it's pulling air. So it's actually relatively easy to reduce radon if you have it. Mm-hmm. But it's important to check for it to find out if you have a problem.
Yeah, and probably now is a great time of the year to do it because you're. This is the time of year, I mean, if you're going to start.
Absolutely.
The houses are pretty tight this time of the year, Laura.
Absolutely. This is the time of year when all of us are closed up, you know, trying to keep the drafts out. And so it's a perfect time to see how much of that radon's accumulating and test for it.
But as Chad says, it can be, you know, if you plug one in, you've got it for the whole year. Do you need to go down and check it every once in a while, or can you just let it go and read the results later?
Well, there's an alarm, an audible alarm on the units that we provide to our clients. And so if it gets above that level of four picoliters, then it will start beeping.
Ah.
And it beeps about every hour.
Okay.
And I'll just add that in the wintertime, when the ground is frozen outside, mm-hmm. that's when we tend to see inside radon levels go up, because
yeah.
that's the our basement floors are not frozen.
Yeah.
And so the radon has to get out somewhere.
Yeah.
And it'll come right into our home.
So certainly something to think about. And since January is radon month, I did want to bring it up. And Laura, is that something you do yourself? I know you work primarily with, or often with, home energy audits, but would radon be a part of that ever?
You know, typically not, Larry, because it's fairly easy for folks to test their own homes.
Yeah.
You know, kits are readily available, and so I really encourage folks to do that themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very easy test to do yourself, or, you know, as Chad said, to have the continuous monitoring, you know, be done. So,
well, you've got a pretty cool business.
Yeah, I love my job. And I love my boss, too.
Her boss is herself. Oh, my goodness. Well, talk about home energy. What happens during... Now, I've had home energy audits done on the last two homes I've owned, including the one I've got now. And I have an Energy Star home right now, so... Got one of those really tight ones.
Very nice.
And it, because we stripped the house down to nothing and started over except for the shell, we were able to do that and come up with a good result. And someone came in and did the audit and certified us and all that. But what happens during an energy audit when you're out there?
Sure. One of the more exciting parts of the audit for myself and for homeowners is the blower door test and the infrared camera scan. So what the blower door test is, it's a large temporary door with a large fan in it, and it allows you to temporarily aggravate all those leaks and bypasses that are normally occurring in a house, only aggravating them to the point where we can pick them up with an infrared camera scan or with like a smoke puffer. And so that allows homeowners to see, you know, how leaky is my house, where are these leaks occurring, and how can we improve upon them? And I say it's interesting because, you know, it's something that most people have actually never seen in mm-hmm. their lives, let alone have done on their own homes. And the result is typically when people can see, you know, the leakage
right.
showing up on the infrared camera, it's typically that point when homeowners go, oh, wow, you mean I'm losing heat there or mm-hmm. through that interior wall? I never would have guessed that. You know, so many folks are so interested in their windows and their doors and how much they're leaking. And that makes sense, Larry, because we walk up to doors and windows and we interact with them. But what we usually find is that there is significantly more leakage occurring in places where people aren't even able to see or feel typically. And that's how the blower door and the infrared camera work together to give people that aha moment.
Yeah, my jaw dropped, especially two houses ago when we had this blower door test, and you're able to see where the leaks are coming. And I had some right in where the house joined, there one corner, there was just a spot where I'm sure the insulation or whatever did not get properly installed. And so I had a pretty good leak right on the corner of the house.
Yep, yep.
But we were able to actually fix that. So it was really well worth it for me.
Yeah, it's enlightening for people to start understanding how their homes really work and how they really can make them tighter. And then, of course, the audit goes into how to actually remedy those areas of leakage and how that gets done.
And then where do you find people who are qualified, people like you who are qualified to do this sort of work?
Oh, sure. The best resource in Wisconsin is to go to the Focus on Energy website, and they have a really nice search tool. You just, I believe they're doing it by zip code these days, and then a list of providers comes up, and, you know, you can choose.
And go from there. And, and the cost is going to vary a little bit, but what is it, $300, $400 range, somewhere
around $400 is real typical for a comprehensive audit that includes a blower door, an infrared camera scan, insulation checks, right? Every part of the house gets checked for, you know, what you have for insulation, and then, you know, what you would want to bring that up to, what our value, you know, what type of insulation you'd want to use.
You're giving all those recommendations after the fact, are you not?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Afterwards. Yep. And then, you know, the furnace gets checked, the water heater, bath fans get measured as to how much air they're pulling.
Yeah, it's really comprehensive. You're not in and out of there in 15 minutes. It's a very...
Yeah. When I bring my equipment in, people, you know, joke, like, are you moving in? You know? It's like, well, you know, for 3 to 4 hours, typically, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I thought, oh, man, that's a long time. But frankly, it's also very instructive and interesting, and you don't have to sit and look over your shoulder every minute or anything like that, but... you learn a lot, and I love the fact that then you give recommendations on what should be done in various parts of the house. And then also, do you go back then? If work is done, do you go back?
Yep. That's the part that I think kind of seals the deal for most folks, because what happens is you have the initial audit. You know, the recommendations are made. The homeowner chooses what they want to have done, and they give you a call. You come back and you redo the blower door test, you scan, and it doesn't take the same 3 to 4 hours,
right.
You know, it's less time because you know what you're looking for. But what it does is it's that peace of mind for the homeowner.
Yes.
Like, did the contractor get everything they were supposed to get? You know, did I get what the scope of work said? And I think for most people who might not be really familiar with these specific improvements or recommendations, it's that double check.
Yeah, like, absolutely. And is there, at the time, the last time I did one, I think there was some even assistance available for people. And I'm not sure if that... is still available or not through Focus on Energy or from the municipality?
Yep. Nope. It's through Focus on Energy. And, you know, I've been in this industry for since 2007. And right now, the rewards are the best that they've actually ever been.
Okay.
And so what they are is on most of the typical work that would be recommended, folks are getting back 33% off of their total bill, but that is capped at $1,250.
Yeah, but still,
yeah,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know any other improvements you can do on your house. Like, you're not going to get, you know, some of your plumbing fixed and get a reward for that. And so, you know, people are often wondering about their return on investment for things, you know, but
it's a pretty darn good return on investment. And frankly, when you go to sell the house, I think the fact that you've done the energy audit and you can even show that to potential buyers and say, hey, look, here's what we've done.
Yeah. I encourage people to keep their reports and
yes.
to include that. And I know that the MLS, like a lot of the realtor systems are now able to, you know, check that the – denote that the house has had an audit and has had improvements. But, you know, these are becoming important questions for people to ask when they're buying a house. You know, what improvements have been done to this house? You know, what kind of insulation yep. is in the sidewall? You know, in the past, you know, I've asked homeowners, do you have any idea? And some of them were completely clueless, which is really interesting to me because the house and the bones and the insulation of the house itself is a huge part of the package. Why do we not know what's going on, you know? So,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, we have lots of good questions coming up here. Ann in Madison has one about radon detectors, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But just a reminder, we're talking home energy audits, radon testing, and, of course, all kinds of repair issues that might be coming up with your home. with Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build in Madison, formerly Chad's Carpentry, and Laura Paprocki, who is the owner of Trinity Environmental, a small environmental consulting business specializing in energy efficiency services. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Chad Spade and Laura Paprocki, who are sharing advice for home improvement and repair with an eye toward energy efficiency. And I'm glad to have you listening in. You can call us at 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page for that. And Ann and Madison, thanks a lot for waiting. What's on your mind?
Oh, sure. Hi. Well, I have, 3 years ago, a soil vapor extraction system, the kind that's used for radon, was installed in my house. In this case, it was for tetrachloroethane, which was seeping into people's houses. But the kind of it's not really a meter, but a system on the wall indicated, I believe, whether the fan was working properly. And the guy who installed it said that the level of the water, which was red, should be between 3 and 4. And during the recent cold spell, it dropped. It's been between 3 and 4 for the last almost 3 years. And during the cold spell, it dropped to about, 2. And I was afraid, on one side, I was afraid that that indicated there might be a leak or some kind of blockage. And I wondered if you knew anything about what that indicator, you know, actually shows and whether it should vary according to weather or any other condition.
Well, that's an excellent question. So that little indicator with the red liquid is shaped like a U, correct? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Uh-huh. And so when the fan is working properly, essentially it is sucking or drawing that liquid towards the end of the tube that's going into the pipe. Mm-hmm. And so the level of that side where that 3 or 4 indicator is will be higher than the other leg of the U, if you will. Mm-hmm. So if those are even, that means the fan is not running at all. Because that which gravity would just let the liquid sit equally on both sides of that tube.
Right. Uh-huh.
So if it's dropped, that would indicate that the fan is not pulling as much air out as it did previously, that the pressure has dropped. And so that could mean a few things. That could mean that the fan is failing but hasn't completely died, or it could mean there's some obstruction in the pipe that has reduced the effectiveness of it. And it is something that I would recommend you have looked at because, those are designed to pull out enough air to keep the radon levels at low levels. So
would it go? I mean, what I was concerned about was that it went quite low, and then now it's almost at 4. So, you know, between, say, 2 weeks ago when it was so cold and now, instead of, staying at the same level, basically it's gone, at least gone up and down once.
I'm wondering if in that cold spell, if you could have had some moisture build up in somewhere in that pipe or at the exit, and if it somehow froze over just enough to create some restriction in there, and then when it warmed up a little bit, that ice melted.
But it's gone higher than it was before. That's what concerned me a little bit now.
Oh.
Well, I would say the. Just a simple way to think about it is the more unequal that liquid is, if it's not working, it's going to be even on both sides. And if there's an imbalance, then that's an indicator of that negative pressure that you need. And it really couldn't go the other way. Mm-hmm. So
high is not bad then.
No, high shouldn't be bad, no.
Yeah, I mean, real high.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Yep, mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. It's sounds like Ann's in pretty good shape there. Ann in Random Lake, what about you? Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, my question is where and how I might be able to buy one of those continuous monitoring devices for radon. If it's at home improvement stores or off a particular website.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
I will listen off the air, and thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, excellent question. Well, so first off, let me just say that I'm a big advocate for shopping at local retailers. And having said that, I don't know of anyone in the Madison area that carries this plug-in detector. But if you're out there, please give us a call here in the show. But what I've done is I order them online, and the particular monitor that that we provide is through a company called Safety Siren. And it's the Safety Siren Pro Series 3 radon gas detector, but there are other detectors out there on the market. I've been because we buy them in bulk, and I will occasionally put one up against the other. I've seen consistency in them. I know it's always pointed out that a mm-hmm. little detector like this, because it costs about $130, it's not going to have the level of accuracy that a much more expensive detector might have. Mm-hmm. It does give you a pretty good indication of what's going on and if you have radon and how bad it is. It's relative. So
there you go. And thanks again for calling. Mike in West Dallas, your turn. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Great.
I'm a CEM, which is the equivalent of a CPA in the energy field. It stands for Certified Energy Manager. And I have 21 Energy Star schools under my belt. I would like to suggest a very simple way for homeowners to find out whether they have enough attic insulation. When it snows, you look at the houses in your neighborhood and find out which ones still have snow on the roof. And you can tell that either they've got a good insulation in their ceiling, because you want a cold attic. And the people who have their snow melting generally are losing heat through their insulation. So essentially, walk down the street after a big snowstorm and see whose insulation is good and whose isn't. And that's a real quick way of knowing whether you got enough insulation in your attic.
There you go, Mike. Well, what do you think, Chad?
Well, sure. It's a great comment, and it's certainly something that I like to do, is drive around town and look at houses that we've worked on to, mm-hmm. See how they compare to their neighbors and that sort of thing. I mean, there's no doubt about it that when snow is rapidly melting, that can often be a sign of heat escaping. You can sometimes see the rafters of the house on the roof under certain conditions, particularly when you have frost on the roof, like those first mornings where you have frost, you'll often see the outline of the rafters because they are they're heating up first. They're connected to the heated house, and then they melt the frost off the roof. And then ice dams, of course, are a telltale sign of extreme heat loss. Snow melts, it refreezes out on the edge, and then you can have real problems.
Yeah. And you're nodding in agreement with all that, Laura.
Yeah, I was just chuckling to myself thinking that people often ask, can I have an energy audit at any time during the year? And I say, yeah, absolutely. But when it is winter, I you get a couple extra tools in your tool belt if you're an energy auditor, because I always, take some time outside of the house before I walk in, and those are a lot of the things I'm looking for, So yeah, good point. Thanks a lot.
Keith in Wisconsin Dells up next. Hi, Keith. Keith, are
hello?
You with us? Yes, hello.
Hi, how you doing? My question is, for homes that don't have basements, like prefabs and trailers, in respect to the radon, is that a concern to those homes as well?
That's a great question. Certainly, radon can be an issue for any home. And if you have a slab on grade, which would, you're still connected to the ground, then the same issues apply. If there are cracks or penetrations through that slab, and if there is radon in the ground at that location, then you can have a radon problem. And it's important to say that you could have radon in the soil of your home, but if it's a well-sealed basement, you would expect to test for it and not find it because the radon is not leaking in. But then there's some places that there just isn't radon in the soil. So that won't matter. So there's really no way to know unless you test for it. If you had a home that were up on piers that had no connection to the soil, that would be a home that you could reasonably expect not to have a radon problem. But that really would be the only one.
Right. Okay. There you go, Keith. Thank you very much for calling. And in terms of installing in a basement, you just, like for years, you just plug it into the wall wherever and...
Well, just like with a carbon monoxide detector or a smoke detector, there are recommendations on the package for proper placement. And the plug-in model that we use, it is recommended that you install it a foot above the ground. You can hang it on the wall or set it on a a crate or something.
Whatever,
there, a foot above the ground level, and you plug it in. And it is a plug-in detector. Yeah. So.
Bonnie in Superior, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. So I noticed in my house that inside my microwave and also my dryer, there's cold, fresh air from outside. Am I also losing heat through those two sources? And if so, is there something that I can do to prevent that heat loss?
Okay.
You know, there is going to be some heat loss there, but I think the majority is that that cold is finding a really easy pathway in. And so, your dryer, they do sell this apparatus that you can put on the outside of your house. I've only seen a few homeowners have them, but the few that have liked them. And what it does is it actually acts like a cap. And it stops that cold, dense air from wanting to drop down into your dryer. I apologize, I don't have the specific name for that. But I'm sure if you go online and take a look. And then the air in the microwave, that's a tough one. You can check to see if you have a damper on the outside of your, where that vent that goes from the microwave to the outside of the house, to make sure you have a damper on that exit area and that it's working properly. The other thing that I encourage people to do, and this may be harder to do retrofit, and maybe Chad, you can speak to it, but because cold air is more dense than the warmer air around it, it'll always want to drop, right? So cold air is more dense and a bit heavier, so it'll drop. And so many times these microwaves are vented in a way that the vent that exits the house is up high. And so in winter, if there's a wind or even just the cold air, it's going to want to drop down. And a lot of times in new construction, what we'll do is we'll try to vent that actually below the microwave and have it exit the house below. So because that cold, dense air, if it comes in that vent, it cannot rise up. And so you don't end up getting as much of that cold feeling in the microwave.
There you go. Yeah. Chad, were you going to add something?
Yeah, it's something that we have helped some homeowners with, and we always try to install integrated dampers into these vent systems where it's practical and helpful.
Yeah, okay. And as I've watched my neighbor, I think I've mentioned on the program before, watching my neighbor's house for those vents with the sparrows who have built nests in there because they can get in. And actually, that can be a fire hazard, considerable one, in like a dryer, for example.
If animals are living in your vent ducts, then you definitely probably have some cold air leakage. Of course, it works both ways because they're there for the heat, but in part. But.
Yeah, so something else to consider. Thanks, Bonnie. Lona in Appleton. Hi, Lona.
Hi there. I was wondering back on the subject of radon. One question I have, the first part of the question is, if you would have radon in your soil, what would be done about it? Is it a real costly fix? And the other one is it real common in Appleton area to have radon radon in the soil? Is that something that's just kind of everywhere or hit and miss?
Yeah, you're certainly not going to be able to eliminate it from the soil.
No,
but
no.
But you can, as you were talking about earlier, Chad, you can certainly get it out of your house.
Yeah, the way these systems work is essentially you are drilling a hole in the cement floor of the home, and you are connecting to the soil down underground, and then you are sucking the air out from under that slab, so that you're basically giving the radon a easier path out, and the piping goes out the house and up to the roof line. So it, you know, it's taking the radon out, and then therefore it's not drifting into your home. Those systems typically will cost in the neighborhood of $1,000 to $2,000 professionally installed, depending on the details. There are some professional installers in the Madison area that are, you know, finding ways to make it more affordable. They're not cutting the pipe through the roof. They're just kind of putting elbows on the piping so that it goes around any sort of an eave, but still gets it up past the edge of the roof line. Not as attractive, but then you don't have to worry about a roof leak, and it's cheaper to install. So,
yeah. You know what? Can I add one thing to
that? Common apple? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I just want to add one thing that when you do put one of these systems in, a secondary benefit, which a lot of people don't know about, is because it's pulling that air from underneath the slab, which oftentimes has moisture in it, right? The ground has a lot of moisture in it, and that's always wanting to come up into our homes. When you have these active sub-slab systems that are pulling the radon out, what it's also doing is keeping your basement drier. And so for a lot of homes these days that where people are using their basements more for, you know, living space, or a lot of these homes where the lower level is not really a basement anymore, it's, you know, walk out on half of it, you know, it's awesome in that, you know, having your basement slab be drier. I don't know. Yeah. I love that idea. Less mold issues, less damp smell, you know. So there's another great secondary benefit.
Radon?
I'm sorry?
Is the radon real common in Appleton area?
I'm not sure about that, but it's a pretty easy, frankly, I think it's pretty easy to find that out. If you type in radon in the Appleton area, you're probably going to get the home energy folks or somebody.
Right. Yeah, there. I don't have the website in front of me, but I know I've gone looking online before for the prevalence of radon in Wisconsin, and there's some nice maps out there that will show you how prevalent radon is in the soil. And I will say that while that's good to know, you still could have radon.
Yeah.
At the particular place where you live, even though it's not prevalent in your area. So I wouldn't use that as a reason not to worry about it.
Okay. Yeah.
There's test kits, too, aren't there, that you can just buy and do it yourself, test it yourself?
That's correct. And those typically cost around $20. And this is a great time of year to do it because if you don't have radon now or you don't have a detectable level that is cause for action right now in January and February, then, you know, you're probably good for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go out and get another one because with doing the redoing the basement floor, the basement floor was done properly with the gravel and then a layer of whatever plastic and so forth, just that it's cracked. But so I'm not too worried because it tested fine before. But now, as you say, for $20.
Yeah.
I can go get a detector and sort of maybe make myself rest assured. And, you know, I have an 11-year-old. And
right.
For me, I'm old enough. It's probably not. But and somebody wondered, in fact, Mike from Milwaukee said, why is radon dangerous? What is it about radon?
Well, so radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer, second only to, as you probably would guess, smoking. So,
oh.
You know, exposure to smoke can come from either smoking yourself or secondhand smoke, but exposure to radon really has to do with where we happen to live and whether or not those buildings have radon in them.
And so if you smoke, Well, everybody should be testing for radon, but I would think if somebody was along with not quit, if you don't quit, I would certainly, smoking and being in a radon home would not be my idea of good living. Yeah,
absolutely.
We have more callers, but we have some open lines, actually. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234, talking home energy audits, radon testing, and a whole lot more with our two guests, Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build and Laura Paprocki, owner of Trinity Environmental. Originally, she's from Milwaukee, graduated from UW-Madison, has a degree in civil and environmental engineering, and has been working in the area for how many years now has it been?
Well, I haven't left since college, so and I've been actively working. So I worked at Rayovac, headquarters for a while, and then at an engineering consulting firm. Mm-hmm. And then in 2007 had the opportunity to start my own business.
And so you've been doing this business since 2007.
You got it.
Bill in La Crosse has a question. Let's go there. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have been listening about the issues with radon, and we have successfully abated radon in our basement with a pump or fan. But we have another issue, and that issue is I'm curious about pentachlorophenol residues in our basement. We purchased a house in 1979, and at the time that we purchased it, it was represented to me by the seller that the house, which was built in 1968, had framing and joist materials that were infused with pentachlorophenol. And it was in there as an insecticide. And as I followed the pentachlorophenol issue, I found that it was withdrawn from those particular uses in the early 2000s by the EPA. But I'm now curious about whether or not we have issues with pentachlorophenol vapors in our basement. And I'm wondering if your guests could share any information they might have about private environmental contracting labs that could help me determine whether we have pentachlorophenol in our basement or not.
That's a good question. You'd think 1970, how many years is that now? 30, 40, almost 50 years. You'd think that anything that was in there would be gone by this time, but maybe not.
Yeah, there are some firms out there that can do chemical testing. I only know of one, and I don't know that they do testing for, chemicals that specific. I believe the name is Environmental Initiatives. Maybe I can get back to you. Maybe I can check on that name and get back to you. But you'd have to have somebody that could do indoor air quality testing and test for that specific chemical. But that's a good point, Larry, that, after all these years, most of those chemicals are volatile organic chemicals. And so volatile meaning that they will, over time,
dissipate. You could probably go to which government agency would you go to check on more information on that particular chemical?
I would think it would be the EPA.
And
it is, I think, this notion of indoor air quality, or that's really the topic that I would be searching under to look for a consultant or a firm that could come and test indoor air quality that specializes, because there are a lot of people out there who are very highly sensitive to VOCs, mm-hmm. and then there's just the obvious potential health consequences of it. So that's where I would look.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about some just general questions from the EPA where you could just ask. My house was built in the 1970 or whatever,
yeah.
and just get some little indication. But still, that doesn't mean you wouldn't go ahead and have somebody else, you know, really come in and test.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, I just want to get back to that. The name of the company that may be able to do that is Environmental Initiatives, Inc. So if you can...
Environmental Initiatives, Inc., and they're probably online. And if you can go online, they may, if they're in Madison, they probably won't work out of La Crosse, but they might have contacts in La Crosse.
Exactly.
And yep. know who you could get a hold of in La Crosse, Bill. So thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate your insight.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it very much. Talking about home energy audits, radon testing, and a whole lot more with our two guests for today, Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build, Laura Paprocki, owner of Trinity Environmental. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking home energy audits, radon testing, and a whole lot more with Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build. And Laura Paprocki, owner of Trinity Environmental. We have many callers on. All our lines are filled, and we have many emails. I want to get an email, and we haven't gone there yet. So Adrian in Milwaukee says, I've heard that some granite can set off the machines that measure for radon. I'm curious to know if that's true or not.
Yep. Well, as far as I know, that is true. You know, granite is an stone that's yeah. harvested out of the earth, and radon is a naturally occurring radioactive soil gas. And so the potential, just like there are materials that contain asbestos, there are materials that contain radon, and it can be radioactive. I mean, you know, so it is something that... we can be concerned about, but I, you know, interestingly enough, I'm not quite sure. I mean, I wouldn't want to say don't put granite in your home because of that risk, but it is a risk. So,
Facebook question from Kara: our radon system freezes with moisture. Any suggestions for a way to prevent? Also, if I have radon and a well for my water, do I have radon in my water? I use a faucet filter for the water we drink. Is that enough? And that is a question I haven't come across. And it's actually a good question.
It is a good question. I mean, I've read about cases of there being radon contamination in water. And
oh,
again,
you have
when you have deep well water, the there is a potential, but I'm not sure
how you test how you would test it. I'm not. Yeah, that's one we will have to think about that a bit, and maybe somebody listening in will have some experience to share with us on that one. In the meantime, we'll turn to June in Ashland. June, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. In November, we had an energy audit done and followed up with their suggestions. We had our rim joist in the basement sealed with foam insulation.
Yep.
And we had cellulose and foam in the attic. They created vent tubes for the attic vents so that they go out rather than into the attic. And they vented our kitchen and bathroom fans, and it's all wonderful. But this winter, in the extreme cold, we noticed that both of our storm doors, our exterior storm doors, froze up like never ever before. So I'm wondering what
happened?
Might have happened there, mm-hmm. and what I can do to solve that problem.
All right.
Thanks, June. That's a good summary that helps me understand a little bit more about your house. This is my guess, and I know Chad will add his two cents in here, but my guess is that you have made your house significantly tighter, and that a lot of that heated air that you were losing before that was moving up and out of the house is no longer doing that because you've made your house tighter in all the right areas. And now your doors have become more susceptible as an area for leakage. And so a lot of that warm heated or that warm air that has moisture, you know, in it, because warmer air can hold more moisture, is getting through your door and hitting your storm door, which is very cold, right? It doesn't see any heat from the house typically unless it is this heat, this air, and then that is condensing and freezing on your storm door. So I think it's kind of a matter of, you know, you fixed everything you were supposed to fix, and there are some consequences.
Now, would you poke a hole in the storm door or somehow get more vetting in the jab?
Well, so there are a couple of things to do, and I just have to say I feel your pain, June, because I too did all the right things to seal up my ranch home, but I haven't touched my old 1950s doors, and they're very leaky. And my storm doors have iced up terribly this winter. And so there are a couple of things to do. You could do better weatherizing around the primary door, so okay, not as much heat's leaking out. And then it's inevitable. It's a door. You're going to get a little bit of that moisture leaking, the hot, and Laura described it very well, the moist, warm air. So you can ventilate the storm door by just cracking open the top. If it has an upper storm that is a, say, a combination storm, you can put a 1-inch opening in it, and that may help reduce the condensation by letting that warm air out. Mm-hmm. But okay, that may not, I mean, I think stopping the moist air from getting out as best you can is going to be the solution. The good news is that perhaps outside everything is covered in metal, and maybe it's just a nuisance that you'll have to to live with, and hopefully no damage will be done to the home.
But the first thing would be get the door sealed up better.
Correct.
Hey, and on that note, I'd just like to add for folks listening out there that there's been some extensive research done on weather stripping, and typically your neoprene, tubular neoprene weather stripping is going to hold up the best for you. So if you have some choices when it comes to weather stripping, you might want to keep that in mind.
That help you, June?
It does help. The front door is relatively new, as is the storm, but the back door and the back storm door are probably as old as the house, which is a 65 ranch. Mm-hmm. And I guess we can do that. I guess I didn't think about opening the storm a little bit, going on the premise of we don't want any cold air coming in. But
right.
And it's fine in this weather, but, you know, when it was that severe early January weather that we had, we certainly noticed it. We had to actually push open the door to get it to crack the seal on the ice.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah. I will try these, leaving a crack open next cold blast that we get, and then, you know,
see what
put it
happens
on the agenda to replace the back door and see what happens.
Yeah, it sounds like a plan.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, June. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Dan in Fond du Lac. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I've got a couple of questions. My first question is, I had my house or basement tested for radon, and in fact, I had it it tested high, and I've had it mitigated. But I have a crawl space, and it did a small addition that was put onto the house, and it's closed off. There's a window that you can crawl through to get to it, but that's always closed. My question is, what about radon under that portion of the house? Now, there is insulation under there with the with a vapor barrier.
Mm-hmm.
But do I have to worry about that, or should I vent that, or what would be the best way to...
Well, so what is on the floor of the crawl space? Is it?
It's just dirt.
Dirt, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so generally best practice for a crawl space would be to seal up that floor. And the most cost-effective way to do that is with a six mil or thicker plastic that would be sealed entirely over that and to the perimeter on all sides. And then best practice, again, would be to then insulate those side walls in some manner, typically with a foam spray-on foam insulation just because of the potential for moisture in that part of the house. And so you're going to do two things by doing this. You're going to reduce the amount of moisture that's coming up into that crawl space, which helps preserve the building materials above it. And then if there is radon, it will help to seal it out. And if you had a radon system, and if that crawl space is in fact independent of the space under the main home, it might be worth having that vented as well. But then you would seal it, and then you would test to see if you have a radon problem, and then you would do something if you did still have that.
And we need to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. But we will be back with our guest Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build of Madison, Laura Paprocki of Trinity Environmental, talking with them. Stay with us. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, some of the best investments you make in your home also help you minimize your impact on the environment. But with all of the different options to weigh it, I know it's hard to know how to make a smart decision. That's when having somebody who knows what they're doing and somebody who's trustworthy help you out. And we've got a couple of people who know what they're doing and are trustworthy as well. Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build in Madison, one of our guests today. Chad, great to have you back. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Larry. Always great to be here.
And Laura Paprocki joining us for the first time. She owns Trinity Environmental, a small environmental consulting business, specializes in energy efficiency services. She does energy audits on homes in conjunction with the Focus on Energy program. And Laura, thank you again for being with us. Really appreciate it.
You betcha, Larry. Thanks.
We have many callers online with questions, and we've dealt a lot with home energy audits and with radon, and still more calls coming in that area. So let's take some. Jim and Wanakee, you're next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, hi. Thanks for the program. I have a question about, we have a home that's 30-some years old. It was built in 83, and there are some pretty significant long cracks in the basement. It's a pretty airtight, highly efficient home, and what I'm wondering is, well, of course, we're in the Madison area, is this something to be concerned about? Is that it, are we more vulnerable now that we have these cracks, if there's even a high risk for this area as far as radon seepage?
Well, that's a great question, and thanks for calling in. And I would say I don't want to be alarmist, but I would absolutely encourage you to do one of the simple radon tests. Go to the hardware store and do the test, and you'll find out whether or not you need to be concerned, because a crack in the floor unto itself does not necessarily mean you have a radon problem, but it definitely increases the possibility that soil gas can be leaking into your home. And so by all means, I would check
spend the
for
20
it.
Or 30 bucks to get it tested.
But you know, even if you don't have cracks in your floor, you should test for radon. So,
okay.
And now's the time to do it. The perfect time period of the year when it's winter and we're kind of all closed up. Jim, thanks. Austin and Whitman, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi there. I am building a new home, Raised Ranch, and putting geothermal heat in. I used the asphalt base moisture barrier on the outside as well as an inch and a half insulation, and I'm spray foaming the foundation walls as well as the rest of the house. So one question I have is the closed cell insulation, does that have protective qualities for radon? And also, do I need a vapor barrier before I put the drywall on with having that closed cell insulation?
I just want to take that last question first. And you're asking about a vapor retarder for over the closed cell or over the spray foam. Are you talking about in the basement, or are you talking about on the first floor, or both?
I'm actually on both. If you were to use regular bat insulation, then you'd need a Visqueen
right
before the drywall is applied. But the way I've been directed or understood is if it's a closed cell spray foam, that the Visqueen's not. It's not necessary, but I don't know that for
sure.
Yeah,
no, that's true. That's true. And per building code in Wisconsin, I believe it's either three, if you have at least 3 or 4 inches, I can't remember exactly, that does also serve as a vapor retarder or, you know, the equivalent of that Visqueen. So on the first floor, correct, no worries. And then on the foundation, we never put Visqueen or a vapor retarder over any insulation that's on a foundation wall. So that answer would be no for the Visqueen on the basement. And because you're using spray foam on the first floor, that would be no for needing the Visqueen on the first floor as well. So thanks for letting me take that question right off the bat.
And I would just add that I agree with everything Laura said. And up when you're above grade and you've got the framed wall, there is a product. If the building inspector insists on a vapor retarder, then there's a product called Membrane, which is a kind of a smart Visqueen, if you will, that allows moisture to get out of that wall when the humidity rises. And that is what we recommend and use on all of our projects. Mm-hmm. So.
There we go.
Is that would that be similar to like frog paper? Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
I believe that's what you're talking about. It has like open cells in it that it just allows moisture one way, correct?
Well, it is, I believe, similar to that. It is a one-way vapor. Vapor barrier. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the house being that tight, would a guy need an air exchanger possibly?
That's possible. Indoor air quality is always a concern, and the tighter you make a house, the more control you have over the climate, but then you have to be concerned about fresh air for the occupants, and that is where that sort of appliance comes in.
And I'll put my two cents in there real quick. You could do an air-to-air exchanger. You know, it's going to run you a grand to $1,200. What it's going to do is it's going to allow you to control sending stale air out, but it's also going to let you control how you're getting that fresh air in because it's a dedicated in and out. Now, a cheaper way to achieve some air the same air turnover, just in a little bit different way, is just using a Energy Star bath fan that's rated to run continuously. We often do this in tight new construction homes, you know, that are certified Focus on Energy or Energy Star. And I will say that I'm usually not tied to any particular brand, but Panasonic has a fabulous fan. It's called their Whisper Green series, and they have some internal controls in the fan that actually allow you to time how long the fan runs independent of someone turning it on and off. And what that does is it allows you to be ventilating your home, however frequently or infrequently you want to. And the only difference with that between that and an air-to-air exchanger is that we know where you're sending the air out, right, through the bath fan. We just don't know exactly how it's coming into the house. It's coming in wherever it can make its way in through nooks and crannies. But it's a very acceptable way to create your own fresh air or air turnover.
Well, there you go. All right. Good luck. Thank you so much, Austin, for calling. You know, we've had more questions about radon and water. And an email from Amy, I think, helps us out here. Let me get to that. It says the EPA website has information about radon in water. They say, and she's quoting here, if you have a private well, EPA recommends testing your drinking water for radon. Call the Safe Drinking Water Hotline and gives an 800 number. It's 1-800-426-4791, 800-426-4791. Well, I'm sure we'll post that up on our, Judith will post that on our Facebook page. But again, I'll give it once more, 1-800-426-4791. And the hotline can provide phone numbers for your state laboratory certification office. And the office or the state radon office can direct you to laboratories which may be able to test your drinking water for radon. So to find a spot to do it, I think it's this hotline is going to give you information. Mm-hmm. And again, it's 800-426-4791. And thanks to Amy for sending that along to us. Michael in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Michael.
Hello, how you doing?
Great, thanks for the call.
I just had a quick add-on there. UW-Stevens Point also offers a environmental testing and analysis lab for water.
Ah.
And you can actually take a sample from your well and send it to them, and they'll do a test for you also.
So actually, probably the way to do that would be to go to the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, water testing or something in their search engine at UW-Stevens Point, and you'll get all the information you need, I'll bet.
Exactly. They'll actually send you a packet to do the test sample with also. And they'll test not just for radon, but multiple issues with your water.
That's great, Michael. I should have remembered that. We've had UW-Stevens Point folks on just talking about water quality in general, and I should have remembered they probably were involved in it. Thank you for that reminder.
Not a problem. Thanks a lot.
Yep, appreciate it. And Mabel in Duluth, Minnesota. Your turn. Hi, Mabel.
Hello. Well, just by a coincidence, this morning I was on the Internet checking out radon because I've had a couple tests in the past that were kind of high. So I thought I ought to do something again. And while I was looking around, they were talking about these remediation things, and one of them was to paint your walls and your floor or have somebody come in and do it with a special product before you paint. And I never heard of this before. And is there such a thing that seals the walls and the floor to keep the radon out before you paint your walls?
While I don't want to say that it's impossible, I'm a little skeptical that would, in fact, reduce the radon level. But it is also true that if whoever is offering this product, if they have some sort of a warranty or guarantee, it's not that hard to test for it and to see what the difference is before and after. And the nice thing about having a professional come in and install a radon remediation system, which is almost always involving a fan, is that they are going to do what it takes to get your radon levels down to a safe level. And so that's generally what I would recommend doing.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Mabel. And by the way, we have an open line or two. You can get in at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. And Lynn in La Crosse, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about an apron outside of the garage area, an apron that is sinking, and it sinks every winter or has for the last three winters by about 4 inches, and that it's about a foot out from the garage door. And then in the summer, of course, it comes back a little bit, but it doesn't come back fully. I have had trouble finding someone, a contractor, to come out and even give me an estimate. I started working on it last spring, and the contractors I called were busy, couldn't come out, blah, blah, blah. So I am now starting to work on it again, still having trouble finding anybody who has time to come out and look at it. But I'm wondering what I need to know about correcting this problem, And then, two, I also wanted to ask about the radon. We have had we had a radon mitigation system installed about a year and a half ago, and that the tube that goes into the pipe, you know, on one side, I know that you're supposed to, if it levels out, that red colored
right.
liquid, if it levels out, you're supposed to, you know, get some help. It has never leveled out, but the one side only registers at one, and I'm wondering, I know you talked about this earlier, I'm wondering, should it be higher, like to the three or four level? I think another woman called in about that, but ours has always been, since it's been installed, it's always been at one, and it's never equaled out, and I can hear the fan because it's above our bedroom, you know, in the night, I can hear it running, so... So those are my two questions.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so for the radon fan, I would suspect that, and I am not aware of any standards on the level of that fluid on the indicator as far as whether there's a consistent marking on those. I've seen different things on different systems in many people's homes, and so I would say that if it's near where it was when it was installed, that's where it should be. And typically they will have an indicator of where you want it to be. There's an arrow typically, and whether that's at the 4 mark or the 2 mark or whatever, I think what's important is that it's where they've indicated it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a question about that, I would have the contractor who installed it, I'd give them a call and talk to them about it. The raising of the concrete apron out, is it a concrete apron in front?
Yes.
Okay. So you know, there are contractors that we used to call it mud jacking, where they would essentially drill holes in cement and pump a liquid cement underneath to raise them up. There are now contractors that are using the two-part closed cell foam that we like to talk about mm-hmm. for comfort and energy efficiency. They're pumping that under cement to raise it up. I wish you luck in finding someone that will come out and help you with that. I would encourage you to look under mud jacking or concrete raising in, you know, Google that in your area. And I'm not sure what trade association I could recommend to help you find a reputable contractor for that.
There we go.
We were told that there are 4 seams, you know, in an X kind of thing. We were told that cement would have to be removed at the seams and then re-cemented.
That could be possible. There are times when the mud jacking is not an appropriate application just because of other conditions in your landscape. So that is a possibility.
Yeah, there you go. You mentioned contractors, and I got to thinking about the National Association of Remodelers.
Yeah.
You've got a expo coming up.
Yeah, this is our big weekend. Thanks for mentioning that, Larry. The Madison Nary chapter has its annual expo out at the Middleton Marriott, and it's going on Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend. On the Friday the 23rd, it's from 2 to 7. On Saturday... it is from 9 to 6, and then on Sunday from 10 o'clock to 4. There will be literally dozens of contractors, dozens of suppliers, designers, specialty trades represented. There are, I believe, 40 seminars.
Yeah, it's great. I've attended that, and especially in years when we were going to be doing some work, and found it very, very helpful.
It's a great place to come and meet people and learn a lot about how to improve your home.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and will you be out there?
I will. I'll be there. We'll have a booth, and I'm not doing any seminars this year, so I'm actually looking forward to going and and being an audience member at a few seminars. So,
oh, wonderful. Yeah. Well, that is absolutely great. So, again, it's this coming weekend. Where is it again now?
It's out at the Middleton Marriott. It's right on the Beltline at the Greenway Cross exit.
And yeah, it's been there before. And
yep.
And a great place to go.
It is.
Yeah. It's a really nice facility. Well, Pam in Superior has a question. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I live in a house that's at least 100 years old, and half of the basement is a dirt floor where they used to keep the coal. And it's covered with plastic, but there's gaps. Now, we don't do anything in the basement. Is it dangerous on the first and second floor? If there's radon?
Well, just for moisture issues, wouldn't you want to seal it entirely?
Yeah, I dirt floors are just not good for structures in general, or the people who live in them, and so the dual concerns of moisture and potential radon. Of course, you can test for radon up on the first floor and see if you have radon there. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage you to test down in the basement as well, just to see. I mean, then you're really going to know if there is radon in the home. Radon is a heavy gas, but that doesn't mean you want to ignore it, because we have systems in our homes that move all that air around. And so if you've got it, you want to deal with it.
Yeah. So for $20, you can get the radon tester and at least Visqueen of some or something.
Yeah, the Visqueen, if it's sealed properly, which is, it's really important. And again, the moisture being a concern for just the durability of the home. And I don't think we've mentioned it yet, and I want to mention that the EPA would estimate that 21,000 people in the United States die of lung cancer caused by radon every year. So this is not a something to fool around with. It is affecting our lives.
Absolutely. And here's some great information to share from Becky. I wanted you to know that the Brown County Health Department has $5 radon testing kits for our Brown County residents. You can stop by the office. The office is at 610 South Broadway Street, and between 8 in the morning and 4:30 to pick one up, or you can call 920-448-6400 for more information, 920-448-6400. So if you live in Brown County, hey, take advantage of it. $5, get you a radon testing kit. And again, the address is 610 South Broadway Street between 8 in the morning and 4:30. And speaking of time, we're out of it. thank you so much for being with us. Laura, I hope you have a chance. I hope you'll come back and be with us again. Love to have you.
I'd love to.
All right. Wonderful. And Chad, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry.
Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build in Madison, one of our guests, and I think we have links to both their businesses on our Facebook page. So just go to our Facebook page if you'd like links. Laura Paprocki owns Trinity Environmental, and boy, they did a great job today. It's great to have them along, and we'll do it again with them. And we're doing another edition of Garden Talk tomorrow. Brian Huddleston and Laura Jell will be along to talk about caring for your woody ornamentals and also garden diseases. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.